witches and wizards from all walks of life, bringing us together to share moments of exhilaration, triumph, and for those who support the Chudley canons, despair. It was with some difficulty, I must own, that I persuaded Madam Pince to part with one of her books so that it might be copied for wider consumption. Indeed, when I told her it was to be made available to muggles, she was rendered temporarily speechless and neither moved nor blinked for several minutes. When she came to herself, she was thoughtful enough to ask whether I had taken leave of my senses. I was pleased to reassure her on that point and went on to explain why I had taken this unprecedented decision. Muggle readers will need no introduction to the work of Comic Relief and Lumos. So I now repeat my explanation to Madam Pince for the benefit of witches and wizards who have purchased this book. Comic Relief harnesses laughter to fight poverty and injustice in a most imaginative way, using it to raise funds to help save and improve lives, a brand of magic to which we all aspire. Lumos, in turn, brings light to the darkest of places, revealing children hidden from the world and guiding them home. By buying this book, and I would advise you to buy it, because if you read it too long without handing over money, you will find yourself the object of a thief's curse. You too will be contributing to this magical mission. I would be deceiving my readers if I said that this explanation made Madam Pince happy about handing over a library book to muggles. She suggested several alternatives, such as telling the people from Comic Relief and Lumos that the library had burned down, or simply pretending that I had dropped dead without leaving instructions. When I told her that on the whole I preferred my original plan, she reluctantly agreed to hand over the book, though at the point when it came to let go of it, her nerve failed her and I was forced to prise her fingers individually from the spine. Although I have removed the usual library book spells from this volume, I cannot promise that every trace is gone. Madam Pince has been known to add unusual jinxes to the books in her care. I myself doodled absent-mindedly on a copy of Theories of Transubstantial Transfiguration last year, and next moment found the book beating me fiercely around the head. Please be careful how you treat this book. Do not rip out the pages. Do not drop it in the bath. I cannot promise that Madam Pince will not swoop down on you wherever you are and demand a heavy fine. All that remains is for me to thank you for supporting Comic Relief and Lumos, and to beg muggles not to try Quidditch at home. It is, of course, an entirely fictional sport, and nobody really plays it. May I also take this opportunity to wish Puddlemere United the best of luck next season. Albus Dumbledore. Chapter 1. The Evolution of the Flying Broomstick. No spell yet devised enables wizards to fly unaided in human form. Those few animagi who transform into winged creatures may enjoy flight, but they are a rarity. The witch or wizard who finds him or herself transfigured into a bat may take to the air, but having a bat's brain, they are sure to forget where they want to go the moment they take flight. Levitation is commonplace, but our ancestors were not content with hovering 5 feet from the ground. They wanted more. They wanted to fly like birds, but without the inconvenience of growing feathers. We are so accustomed these days to the fact that every wizarding household in Britain owns at least one flying broomstick that we rarely stop to ask ourselves why. Why should the humble broom have become the one object